Jody.
Jody, are you from Georgia?
No, Dayton, Ohio.
Ah, I see one. I see there are only a couple of people here still. So. How are you today?
It's Nancy from Georgia.
Hey, Nancy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day.
I know.
And I love a beautiful day.
Oh, my God. Yes,
so
ma'am.
So, just a reminder, everybody, that this is a Lifeline call. It is currently Thursday, April 14th, and this is Elaine Taylor Klaus. I guess I should say April 14th, 2016. And Lifeline calls are open Q&A calls that are not there. There's no curriculum. There's no training involved. It's really designed to give you a place to engage and listen and ask questions with everything you're dealing with, whether it's details for your family or specifics on how to use one of our programs. So, and we have a small crowd right now, and I suspect in a few minutes that a lot of people will join, because that's usually what happens. So for those of you who are on the call, you can either, I've got right everybody now unmuted, but I may change that if it gets too crowded. And if that is the case, then you can press star 2 to raise your hand. But if you have any question, go ahead and throw it out or a comment. Tell me who you are, what program you're in, and what would be helpful for you to talk about or for me to talk about.
Well, this is Jody again, and I'm in the PSS program. I'm just starting, and I have a question.
Welcome.
Thank you. I guess we kind of pick up wherever the group is. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So, very good.
The way that PSS is designed, it's designed as a year-round program so that people can jump in wherever you are. And if you've listened to the orientation call, so you know how the calls are structured, then you'll see in the workbook that we do it by month as opposed to, 1 through 40 or whatever. Because we actually place the content based on time of year. So I guess it works probably better for people in the northern hemisphere than the southern hemisphere. But other than that, as we place topics, we place them based on the kinds of things that are going on in a family dynamic. So you can really pick it up wherever you are.
Great.
Who else? Just a reminder, because a lot of people have joined in the last couple of minutes, that this is a Lifeline call, so there's no curriculum. It's really designed to answer your questions or share comments or help you manage whatever part of your program or your life you're trying to manage, except for your taxes. I can't help with taxes.
Hi, this is Tamia. I'm calling in with a question I posted in the Facebook chat room as well, hoping to maybe solicit some more discussion. My 9-year-old daughter is really struggling with what her teachers are calling tattling behavior at school. She's in a special needs school, so let's just say there's lots of opportunities for pointing out when people aren't following the rules. And I think it's a combination of attention seeking and impulse control, and just wondering if there are strategies or things others have done. That's my topic or question
Great.
For the day.
I'm really glad you're here because I actually read your comment, your post. So I'm really glad to talk to you about it. Tell me what program you're in.
That's a great question. I've been in the year-round, bi-weekly call. I'm sorry, parents, PSS.
Are you in the Lifeline membership? So let me ask it differently. Are you in Sanity School or one of the home study programs?
I have done several. Currently, I do the biweekly focus groups. I'm sort of a returning member for multiple years now.
We love that.
So
you're in the parent success system.
Thank you. That's it. Yes.
Okay. Right. Otherwise known as PSS.
Thank you.
Okay, that helps me. Yep. And so this is a great. Let's do some conversation about this, and then remember, this is also a good place to take aim in your call.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and so if I recall, your daughter's 9, right?
She is. So she's 9 with dyslexia and ADHD. and is currently attending a school for kids with those special needs. So,
special needs, are they focusing, is it a school that focuses on dyslexia remediation, or is it?
It's a school, yes, it's a language-based learning disability school primarily, but dyslexia and ADHD travel together so frequently in actuality, and ends up being a school that focuses on different learning styles with a heavy Orton-Gillingham focus. So they're open to lots of strategies. There's no fight for fidget, but,
Well,
this
I'm asking because
she's always been the one who was,
Well, I'm asking because sometimes these schools do really, really well with the language-based learning disabilities, but they may not be able to handle the ADHD as well. There's some schools here that actually won't take kids who have behavioral issues in addition to the language disabilities, so that's why I was just trying to get a sense of what kind of school it is.
No, it's a great question. Yeah, because I would characterize, actually, I don't think everybody in her school does have dyslexia. I would characterize them as more on the open-minded side of the spectrum, which has its own challenges because the challenges in the classroom can be quite disruptive, but they're also quite open to partnering. So I'm kind of surprised they don't have any ideas, but they comment that, wow, your child is so verbal, and yes, she is.
Really shocking.
A good thing, right?
That comes as a surprise to you. That's shocking to me.
Right.
All right, so let me ask you a question, because what I responded to on the forum last night was that I think you need to really take aim, right? So what's the change you want to see?
Exactly.
Are you trying to focus on how do you want to interact with her or the conversation you want to have with the school? Which is your focus right now?
My aim is really on managing the school, because I feel like, ironically, this behavior is mostly occurring at school, and we're really struggling with managing that school interaction. I'm trying to, in my problem-solving way, having applied behavioral analysis with my son to great effect, trying to figure out what is the behavior, you know, what's the specific behavior that's disruptive in the classroom so that we can replace it with something else, or, you know, because I think we have to replace before we can inhibit. And also data, like when is it happening? What are, you know, what's the situation where it happens most often? And now, so I don't really have any ideas, and they're asking me for ideas, and I'm really struggling because I'm not a teacher. So, we manage this sort of behavior differently at home.
So let me step back, because I think you're asking the right questions. And what's happening is, if any of you have been in Sanity School or any of the programs that go through the model, what the school is doing is that classic problem, which is, here's the problem, what's the solution? And they're not taking the time to really understand the problem.
You've got to get curious, if I can handle my book.
Exactly. And so what you're saying is, all right, you're in stage two. You're collecting information. What is going on? When is it happening? What's stimulating it? You are absolutely asking the right questions. And so I think the response to the school is to say, I am so excited to help you figure this out. I don't have any answers yet because I don't have enough information yet.
Yeah.
But
that's where we left it.
So are they open to helping you explore it, to getting curious?
That's an interesting question, because they are open to collecting the data, and when I suggested that the first step is when is it happening, the frequency data. And I said, I think we should do that for a week, because they were proposing 3 weeks of frequency collection. I'm like, that's a long time. Probably after
that's
a week.
That's a really long time.
Yeah. After a week, we know when it's happening. And I suggested, then we'd like to focus on those times when it's most frequent and get some more data about, specifics of the situation. Then the school kind of started shutting down and changing their tune to say, well, we don't have that expertise. You can bring in someone. I'm like, okay, that's totally fine. I can bring in someone to do that. And then they said, but it's not the tattling. We just want your daughter to be kind to the other students. I'm like, okay. I feel like you guys just changed the game there.
They did.
We're tattling.
I actually love this. This is great. Because what happened was you sort of pushed them to a problem-solving method, and then they stepped back and said, well, maybe it's not that, it's this. Right? So they got a little overwhelmed by the process. When you use a term like collecting data, right, that is a quantitative term that's going to put them on the defense.
That's a good
right?
point. And that's just what I'm a statistician psychologist, so collecting data
right.
is what I do every day. So I never even occurred
right.
to me that that would come across that way. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. But they're going to hear that as, I'm going to be accountable.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to be accountable to numbers. So now they want to collect how many times it's happening. And what you really actually want to know is, when is it happening? What's happening before
yeah.
it? Right?
Yeah.
So that you can assess what's her mood, what's her energy, what's she responding
to? Is she
ear snack?
To? Has her meds? Yeah. Have her
exactly.
meds expired? Is her blood sugar low? Yeah.
Right.
All those
so,
things.
So I think what I would encourage you to do is to take off the statistician hat.
Yeah.
Right? And put on that, I don't really know, I'm just a mom hat.
Oh, that's hard. But yes, you're right.
It's hard. Really, it is, but we don't want them to feel judged. We want them to feel partnered. And if you're bringing in
yeah.
a level of expertise that's higher than what they feel capable of bringing to the conversation, they're going to step out of it.
Yeah.
Does that help?
You're right, and it's helpful because that's a perspective I hadn't considered. I kind of assumed they were experts in this because they all have master's degrees in special education. So I thought we were on the same
teachers
page.
Are not kind of, generally not experts in managing ADHD. Cross the
yeah.
board. They just don't have good education around it. Special ed teachers are really good at managing reading-based learning disabilities. Right? They
good.
Get a lot
I
of
be
education
for that.
Morton Gillingham
right.
and Linda Mubell and all of that, but they don't get very good education, generally speaking, in ADHD management.
Yeah.
So there's a
no,
little
it's really
education
helpful.
For you to do, but the challenge for you, Mia, is to do it from a layperson's perspective and not come in as the expert.
Right.
Okay.
And not make clear my expectations that they should be better at this than they are because they advertise themselves as experts in supporting these kids. So I need
right.
to lay that aside.
Yeah. So get curious with them instead of that what you're saying sounds a little like a judgment of them.
Mm-hmm. And it is.
Right?
I'm very much judging right now because I'm very disappointed in the school.
Fair enough.
We're paying a
right.
lot of tuition for a complete lack of skill in this area, which is a bit stunning.
Right.
But that's okay.
And,
we'll
and I just want to normalize that for you. I want you to hear that that is incredibly typical all across the country.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, Chad's working on trying to get the teacher-to-teacher program out there because teachers just are not well-informed and well-educated around it.
Yep.
So I would really look at this issue of partnering with them and, like, let's work together to understand what's going on. Let's get curious. But try to leave the data out of it and just, you know,
okay.
when does it seem to happen the most? You know, is it after lunch? Is it when someone said something? Is it when she raised her hand four times and never got called on? You know, like, because we need to try to understand what's emotionally behind what's going on with her that's triggering her behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that help?
It does.
Okay, so what's your takeaway from this conversation with your aha?
Oh, that I really need to reframe this to not bring my professional self into this conversation or any expectations of that sort of approach and really play the character of, as you said, a layperson, a mom who's just, you know, just want to work together and explore this and work privately to manage my frustration at the lack of data and the lack of
So here's what I'll offer as a structure for you, because I think that if you have a structure to do this, it will help you. Print out
mm-hmm.
a copy of the model,
yeah.
including the four critical response areas.
Okay.
And bring that into them and say, this is how I tend to approach a challenge. So I want to make sure we're clear on what we're taking aim on. Then let's collect some information. Let's get educated. And then these are the four critical response areas that we want to look at before we create a structure. And
yep.
to bring them into the conversation that way, that's a structure that's easily accessible to them
mm-hmm.
And that you didn't create.
Right. It's not mine.
Right.
Yep.
But this is what's working for us at home. Maybe this will help at school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think I also maybe
something.
Need you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and have our psychologist, who's part of the team as well, perhaps be the voice that's more direct rather than me being more direct. So
yeah.
We can
absolutely. Getting an ally in there will help.
Yeah. Because it's I know they're being defensive because one of their students did hurt my daughter. And, there's a lot of emotions wrapped up in this. I need to pay attention to that.
So if you can make a really strong effort not to make anyone wrong.
Yep.
That's right?
A growth area in my personal life, yep.
It's hard. But it will get you a lot farther than going in there with fingers subtly pointed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say.
And so I might bring the model to the psychologist first and say, this is what I'm using. You know?
Yeah.
This is what, and start there. And then, and as you say, let the lead come from inside instead of you, if possible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
It's just frustrating having to play these games. But you're right. We'll
so we want to challenge you to reframe that.
Yeah, okay. I need to.
And it's not games. This is human dynamics, and you're a psychologist.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. This is why I'm not a clinical
human
psychologist.
This is basic human psychology. When people are defensive, they're going to react. So what do you need to do to take them off this defensive system?
I need to lower their defenses.
Because the truth is they want to be in the best interest of your child.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't be working there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is probably at the root of my lack of trust right now. Because I feel like they put another child's interests ahead of my child.
Yeah, and they are running a school. They're trying to balance a lot of interests.
Yeah.
And that's reasonable.
It is reasonable. That's their business. That's their role, to balance the interests.
Right.
And my role is to advocate for my child and her needs. So.
And you will do that most effectively when you don't put them on the defensive.
Exactly. I hate that.
Well done, though.
Yes,
thank you for bringing that conversation. I am confident it benefited other people on this call.
I hope
it's a hard conversation.
Thank you all for listening.
It's a
hard
conversation.
Yeah, I'm conflict avoidant. I'm only going to conflict for my kids. Every place else, I work really hard to avoid and be partnering and not get people's defenses up. But this area is so hard. So thank you for your support,
let me
as always.
Recap for everyone. We just hit a ton of concepts in that conversation, right? We talked about making it okay to make mistakes, not making anyone wrong. We talked about collecting information and getting curious. And we talked about using the model. We talked about assuming best intention for the school. We talked about stepping away from reactivity and looking at how do you bring out the best and set someone else up for success. So there are a lot of pieces. This is a very complex issue. And the other thing I would add is when you say your conflict avoidance is to remember to stay matter of fact. You know, to take the judgment out. That's another thing we talked about is removing judgment. So there's a lot of pieces here. It's complicated. And you've got the skills and the understanding to manage it when you can do it consciously, which is what you're doing.
Yes. Thank you guys for letting me be rude and inappropriate about the school on these calls.
You're not being rude. You're just dealing with what you're dealing with. Let me just a voice for a moment. Anybody on this call who's ever been frustrated or irritated by something that's happening at your child's school, just say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm part of a large.
You're just speaking.
Really.
You're just speaking the truth. And you know what? If I had a room of teachers on this call, they would say the same thing.
Yeah, I know. They're doing the best they can, and I get that. And I get that our perspective shifts. We lose sight of things. Sometimes we don't attend to the quiet problems until they come to the head sometimes. So, this gives us visibility and an opportunity.
And
yes,
on
please,
to the
let's
next.
Close.
Brilliant. All right.
Thank
keep doing and come back to us on the forum and let us know how it's going, please, okay?
I will. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so who else has a question, comment? What do you need?
It's
a lot of
Jenny,
people joined since my last introduction, so I just want to remind people it's a Lifeline call, so there's no curriculum today. This is Elaine, and I'm just answering questions. So start by telling me your name and what program you're in.
It's Jenny. I'm in Sanity School.
Hello, Jenny.
Just as a follow-up to what you were just talking about, what is this teacher-to-teacher program that we could introduce to the school? Is there a way to...
Yeah, Chad, you know Chad, Chad.org?
Yes.
Chad
sure.
is the international nonprofit for ADHD, or not national nonprofit, I should say, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's a national organization. I'm on the board, and mm-hmm. And Diane and I are both very involved, Jeremy as well. And they have a training program called Teacher to Teacher.
Right.
And it's a
good
great
job.
Program that can be brought in to teach and train teachers at your child's school, but it's a fee-based program, and so a lot of schools don't do it.
Okay. And that was just as a follow-up. My question is actually, when you talk about triggers, and it's important for us to know what our triggers are, but can we say to our teenagers, older teenagers, when you do this, it triggers me? And how do you do that to where we're not making it all about me?
Great question. I love that question. Okay, so just for those who may not have learned much yet about triggers, it's about, you know, what happens when someone pushes your buttons. And we all get our buttons pushed. And it's our responsibility to manage our triggers. It's not someone else's. Mm-hmm. It's not our kids' job to calm us down, right? And if they do something that we recognize triggers us, there's sort of two places to look. One is for you to manage your own trigger around it. Like, what is going on? What's the message you're telling yourself? What's that underlying thought? So that you can begin to shift and reframe how you're reacting to it. But I do think it's appropriate, not in the moment. I wouldn't do it at the time. Never do anything in the heat of the moment. But to be able to come back at another time and say, okay, so here's a little trick. Don't use the word you. Instead of saying when you do that, shift it to when that happens, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of when you said to me that, speak to me that way, it may be when we're talking and it comes out angry or rude or whatever. So if you can try to take the you out of it, because you puts people on the defensive,
mm-hmm.
as just a little tidbit. So when it happens, I notice that it's a trigger for me because I get upset because. Give them a little reason. It doesn't have to be a long psychological expose. You just, you know, this is what's upsetting to me about it. And so I'd appreciate it if you might try this instead, or you might do this, or just understand that I might get a little trigger in it. I'm really working on managing that, but I want you to understand that that's what's going on. So that you're giving them an emotional intelligence education. You're doing a little problem solving. You're doing what we call in coaching a designed alliance. And there's a good article on the site about designing an alliance, which I really recommend. And in a design alliance, you're basically designing how we're going to be in relationship with each other. And so whenever I start working with my private clients, I always start with a design. This is what you can count on me for, and this is what I need from you. So you can count on me, a 16-year-old snarky teenager, to try to not react when you get snarky. And I need you to try to not be snarky with me, right? Or is there a particular scenario that tends to happen a lot, Jenny?
Oh, yes.
What is it?
It's basically, so he's 19, so it's important for everyone to know he's not a little kid. And what's happening
is... Okay, he's 19, developmentally going on what?
14.
Okay, so keep that in mind.
Yes, but he is taking a gap year and before college.
Right.
He's already been accepted to a fantastic college. But he's gotten so into speaking like he was raised in Spanish Harlem. In fact, I took him to a neurologist who said, is he adopted? He's gotten into, you know, ma, na, ain't, effing this, effing that. He's speaking in a way that if that's how you grew up, that's fine. And we've said that. If that's how you grew up, that's fine. But you didn't, and it's coming across as pseudo. It's pretend language. And it's gotten to the point where I'm like, can you please speak correct English? Speak any way you want around your friends, but around at home, can you drop the F-bombs and stop saying ain't? It drives me crazy. Highly educated, he's always been so articulate, and I think he got teased for it, so now he's talking in a way that he was not raised, and it's just like I said, I don't need him to speak perfect English. I'm not asking for much, but I think he's got, and we said, you're getting ready to go to college. That's in this small dynamic that's based on give and take intellectually, and he really is just downplaying himself as if he hasn't even gone to high school. That's how he's speaking. And
so, can I offer something?
Yes.
This is really your issue, not his. It's really your issue. His peers in college will school him.
He'll
figure it out
so
very
far,
quickly.
And it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse.
He's not college.
People
yet.
Make fun of it. People are like, "What? Why is he speaking that way?" We've done the ignore thing for a year now, and it's not. Mm-hmm. It's getting worse.
Okay. And so, what's his justification for it?
This is the way I speak.
Since when?
It's just the way he speaks now. That's what he just says. This is the way I speak. And he's thrown out, oh, we're racist for saying you're racist, saying that makes me sound like I'm not intelligent. I said, well, it depends on how you were raised in this town. I said, even your friends that live in urban environments don't speak this way. They're all articulate. Everyone around him is very articulate, but that's the way he speaks.
Yeah.
And people ask about it, and it's people are like, what is going on with that?
So are you embarrassed by it?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm embarrassed by it.
Okay.
What I'm worried about is that it's becoming so now more ingrained. He's losing. Okay. Losing his ability to have discussions. It's been a little like his intelligence is decreasing. He's not. It used to be he would start off that way and it's his armor, and then he'd get more comfortable and start using his vocabulary. And now I'm not seeing the vocabulary anymore. My husband did bring it up about.
He's going to a really good school next year, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's an intelligent kid that's going to figure this out. Let that part go. Don't worry about his. He's in a gap year. He's stepped out of a classroom. He's not having that intellectual stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
He's testing other things because that's what 14 and 15 year olds do. Right? He's trying on other personas and other personalities and other styles. That's what teenagers do. He's just doing it a little later. And the more you want him to change, the more entrenched he's going to be in not changing. Because now it's not about him, it's about you. And he gets to irritate you.
I agree, but I do have to parent him. So what the fuck, Mom? Hello, you cannot say that to me. What's going on?
Well, he can. You just don't want him to. So how do you
want
to handle
it
when he
does? I have to parent it.
Well, do you have to direct it, or do you have to let him know that when he does that, I'm going to leave the room, or I'm going to whatever it is, because it's not comfortable for me, and I just want you to understand that's the decision I'm making. Because he's 19 years old.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah, there's a consequence to his behavior, but as his parent, he's 19. Your job is no longer to direct his behavior. But it is to let him see what the impact and the consequences of his behavior are on other people. So if it's something you can't be with, then at a different time when it's not in the heat of it, communicate what you can be with and what you can't, you know, where your line is. Own it as your issue, so it's not about him. And then let him know how you're going to respond.
All right. So besides walking away... Yeah, like the text, you know, Michael, when are you going to be home? I've got shit to do. Do you have to say it's that? Now, I'm not saying this is in my head. Do you have to say I've got shit to do? Mom, I've got stuff to do. It's right.
Yeah.
You know, so that's it. So he texts that way. He speaks that way. And I understand that it's not comfortable for me. I'm going to walk away from it. So I see what you're saying. Switch it to where I'm explaining what it's for me.
What's the impact on you?
You don't sound smart. Mm-hmm.
Right, instead of blaming him. He's going through a phase.
Uh-huh.
You just don't like this phase.
I do not like this phase.
Right, and as long as you don't like it, it gives him incentive to want to stay in it.
Well, and that's exactly when you talk about triggers. So I think he's an adult enough to say, hey, listen, you know, I do things for you, you do things for me. you know, there are things that he's asked me. He's asked me to adjust, and I'm working on it. So I think it's okay to have an adult conversation with him. But part of me is like, but as soon as I tell him it's a trigger, he might go, "Ooh, I just found the button." Yeah, you know, and he knows the button.
No, I think it is okay to have that adult conversation with him. It's like, you know, that again, that design alliance. This is what you can count on me for. I will listen. I'll be present to you. I will love you and support you. And I want you to try to limit that because it makes me uncomfortable. And is that, you know, and we are in a relationship with each other. And I think it's a fair request, but I will caution you that if you get too entrenched on how his behavior has to be, you're just playing into his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So walking away is a response. Is that my only option?
Well, no. You have to decide what your option are and options are. Well, you you can do it in conversation with him. I think it's a reasonable conversation to have, but it's got to come from a place of this is what's uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my issue, and I'm working on it. And this is how I'd like you to help me with that. Instead of, you've got to stop that because you look like an idiot and you're making me look bad.
Mm-hmm. People are going to think
you're
stupid.
That's what you're saying is, you're saying you make me look bad. And that's all about you.
Yeah. I don't know if I say that as much because our worlds are so separate. It's just more that it's going to make him look bad. He's going to go to college and no one is going to take him seriously. They're going to be like, how did you get into this school?
Well, he'll figure that out. You can't manage that level of his social dynamic. He's 19.
Right. So it's when you,
so
I feel.
You know that whole, what's the guy who did 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? The Steve
mm-hmm.
Covey
mm-hmm.
stuff?
Yeah.
There's your circle of influence and your circle of control. So be clear here on what's in your control and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on what you can influence and try to let go of what you can't control.
Right.
Okay.
Mhm. But if you take out vocabulary and put in the cursing and F bombs, does that change it? Is one, or is it all the same thing?
I think it's all the same thing. In this generation, they curse more. He's not going to look like an idiot for using curse words. It's part of the common vernacular.
Oh, and I'm not uptight about the cursing. I'm really not. Like, I happen to do it myself, but it's just it's every other sentence.
Yeah, and that's where he is. I think you'll find that will shift. Or he'll make a living out of it and become a Sarah Silverman.
If he could speak that intelligently, it'd be great. He's just, I think it's been the bullying. He's seeing a psychiatrist who said it's his armor. That's protecting him right now.
So that's why, rather than challenging it, let him see the impact and focus on you.
Because
you can't control him. You can only control how you respond to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm going to read that article right now. That's
good. It's a great one.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay.
So
thank you so much.
You're welcome. Who else? What other questions are on the floor today?
Elaine, my name is Peter. And
hello, Peter. How are you?
Hey. I'm doing good. I've enjoyed the call.
Good.
I have a really simple question. I know in I'm in the PSS,
right.
Parenting Support. And so in the workbook, and I remember you saying about the curriculum being cyclical, you talk about needing, you know, to review a particular lesson as a way to get started. I'm not sure I'm finding where that is.
The orientation call is on the website. If you go to the members login on the website and log in,
okay,
then the orientation, you'll see the ADHD parent manual there. You'll see which is whether your kids have ADHD or not, by the way, that manual is a great 25-minute video that overviews the methodology.
Okay.
And then
great.
The orientation call is called out there. No problem. And welcome. I'm glad you're here. Who else? What other questions do you have today?
Hi, it's Carolyn.
Say it again.
Oh, it's Carolyn. Hi.
Hey, Carolyn.
I am, this is like the most incredible meeting. It's funny how you get what you need.
Yeah. The universe is great that way, isn't it?
It's incredible. So just with what I've been hearing from everybody else is a similar situation with me in that I'm really challenged with my husband. But, and then like on the swearing stuff and things like that, I mean, that's also an issue, but I'm doing better on that because, I know with the swearing and stuff or profanity or, you know, trying to talk, my husband and daughter is trying to talk like everybody else is talking or whatever, that it's like I just find that I'm being disrespected. I'm not sure you're aware of it, but, you know, but in terms of swearing, I always knew whenever I put on my battle dress uniform in the Army that my language went down like 6 layers. And I just have to remember which uniform I'm wearing.
Can I focus you a little bit?
Yes. So my specific thing.
So what are your what's the comment or the question you're looking to address?
The issue is when I've tried to be curious about what's going on, and I can't, like, whatever my language is, it's not coming across as clear. And you can hear it's not there right now.
Is it about something in particular? I'm not clear when we're talking about your husband or your kid, and if there's something specific you're trying to get curious about, or is it just a general way of using the tool?
That's great. It's specifically what it is that as I prepare to resume full-time employment, my husband's taking over the family manager role, and so we're both very different about it, and that's fine with me, but he's setting up rules that I don't even understand, or I didn't even know there was a rule, so I'm starting to act like one of the teenagers. Like,
what a great awareness. Good for you for seeing how your role is shifting. That's great. Let me ask you, what program are you in?
PSS.
Okay, great. So this is something you can take back to your PSS after we do a little work on it. Okay. So what are you trying to clarify? Because it sounds to me like you're really trying to get clear on something.
Yes.
And is it your role? Is it what do you think it is?
Well, somehow there's a communication that occurs between my husband and I, and I can only tell you in an image, it feels like he's surrounded by an electric fence, and I just touched it, and I'm zapped. But I don't know, I can't tell when the electric fence is on or off.
That's great. What a great image.
Well,
everyone on this call totally understands what you just said. Thank you.
So when the fence is on, I can't even, like, say, or I'll try to say something, and it'll be like, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. But I know. Anyway, so it's more like, where do you go with this? How do you?
Okay, so let me try to help
me focus.
Boil it down a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is, you're in a shifting roles place with your husband, and sometimes it's like he's got this wall or this fence up, and you're getting zapped. Nothing you can do. No right. But it's not all the time. It's just sometimes.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And historically, when he was the primary wage earner and you were at home, was this as much of a problem?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a long-term dynamic that's only becoming a problem now because now you need to communicate with him more about family stuff.
Yes, and before I start my full-time job is when we can talk, when afterwards my focus will be on the job.
Right. Okay. Although I will challenge you that I hope that you will still have conversations with your husband after you start a full-time job.
We will,
but I hear what you're saying.
But no, it's also, I know that with my ADD, when I hit new and unfamiliar situations, it's really easy for me to go into overwhelm. So, and it's not anticipatory overwhelm. It's just, it's going to be a totally new situation. And so, you know, I'm going to not, if I'm not clear now, I won't be clearer then.
Right. So there are a couple of things that I'm hearing. Okay. One is for you to practice bottom lining it. Part of what happens is that you're a verbal processor. And so you're processing information verbally,
yes.
and other people are waiting for you to get to your point.
Yes.
And it can be frustrating for other people. It's the nature of how you process, right? And it's not a criticism, but it is important for you to understand that so that you can get clear on, after you talk a little bit, to say, okay, this is what I'm saying, or this is the bottom line, or here's the point, right? You may have to summarize for people.
Yes.
Because you do process cyclically and verbally, and so it does take a minute. I mean, this is what's happening on this call. You're saying something, and then I'm coming back and saying, this is what I think you're saying.
Yes.
Right?
And I appreciate that.
And yeah. and it's hard for you to do for yourself. I really get that. So remember I talked a little bit ago about the idea of the design alliance, designing how you're in relationship with each other. And so, and I really, again, I recommend this article, but the idea behind a design, we design in the world all the time. You know, if a teacher stands at the front of the room at the beginning of the school year to teach a class, she's designing with the class, what are the class rules? How are we going to be in relationship with each other? A marriage vows are a designed alliance. Will you do this? Yes. Will you do this? Yes. Right? So we can use that process to be in relationship with people in our lives. And it can be incredibly effective to design the dynamic that you and your husband are stepping into, this new role. To be able to say, can we talk about how we're going to do this together? Because I've learned a few things I want to share, or I have some thoughts, or I could use some help. People always like to give you help. And the two components, the fundamental components of the design to a design are, you can count on me for this, and this is what I want or need from you. So you might say to your husband in a design, I understand that I tend to process verbally, and it may be hard because it's not clear what I'm saying. So you can count on me to try to summarize what I'm saying or bottom line it, and I need you to just be patient until I get to that point. Right?
Oh, my goodness. I'm writing it down because this is like, I can practice those words.
Right. But I want you to understand the concept behind it. Right.
This is
what you can count on me for, and this is what I need from you, or want, or would help me, or however your language is. Right. I get that it's frustrating for you that sometimes I'm not really clear, and I realize that I process verbally, and it takes me a minute to get to the point, and I understand that, and I know it's frustrating for you, and I'm sorry, and that's how I think. I really need to do that, but you can count on me to try to process it through, bottom line it, and then I'd really like you to try to be patient with me while I figure it out. Or I know things have shifted in our dynamic, or that now that you're in charge, And you can count on me to support you in being the head running the house. And sometimes I need you to give me a little extra time or help me understand something, because sometimes I'm not clear on what the rules are that you're setting up, and it's a little hard for me to support you if I'm not clear. So you're being cautious not to make him wrong, but to really, and this is a theme throughout this call today, to really own the part of it that's yours, right? You're a verbal processor. You're trying to support him, but you don't know how. You don't want to get burned by the fence. You really want to be, like, what's underneath this is you want to support him. And you want to be a team in this family. So if you can get clear on that, then you can approach the details of it without the judgment and the shame and the embarrassment and the fear and all of that other stuff that comes up with it. Does that make sense?
Oh, incredibly. I'm still writing it down because, like, just looking at those words, it's like, oh, wow, that's a lot shorter way of saying that. And what's hard is when you're like, you know, when I finally get to it, the point, you say, well, why didn't you just tell me that? I'm like, because I didn't have that in my head.
Right.
Until I got there. Anyway.
Exactly. And so if you can let him understand that in advance and not at a time when you're being defensive and he's being accusatory and everybody's annoyed, it's just the way your brain processes. Diane and I laugh at that all the time because she's a verbal processor. And so there are times where she'll call me up and she'll say, can you just, I need to think through something. I need to talk it out with you. Can you just, and I'll just sit there and, you know, do emails or whatever until she's done. And then I can help her bottom line it. But sometimes she just needs to talk it through. That's just the way her brain works. And that is the way your brain works. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just will help your relationships if you understand that and are able to communicate it.
Yeah, and I think also knowing when is the time that we can process it, and it can't be never, you know, there's never a good time. It can't be that.
Right.
It's got to be something. Doesn't have to be all the time, because that would be awful, you know, but
yeah.
Something.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And to recognize when someone's not open to it, and to be able to say, you know what, I'm realizing now is not a good time. Can we talk about this later, or can we talk about this tomorrow at lunch? Or I had an example this week. I had a conversation with my daughter on the phone, and she was getting a little snippy, and I finally said, you know what, I think this is probably not a great time for this conversation. Why don't we talk tomorrow? And I was, you know, very non-judgmental, and I love you, and good night. And I got a text the next morning saying, sorry about last night. And so I called her, and then we had a really good conversation. But, you know, I caught her in the middle of something where emotionally she wasn't able to be dealing with the logistic that I wanted to deal with. But she didn't at that moment know to tell me that. And so it was just coming out as sort of snippy. And so I just postponed it and skipped and was able to follow up with her the next day. And I think that's an important piece to remember, is that, you know, these relationships last a long time. And sometimes we feel like we have to deal with everything right now, but we don't. We have time.
Is there a way of encouraging someone, or how would you let someone know, you know, if you really don't want, if now is not a good time, I'd really appreciate it if you let me know.
You want to be careful not to sound blamey, right? You can.
I know
it. Shift it from if now's not a good time, you should tell me that, right? To
right.
It seems like now may not be a good time.
Uh huh.
Just lay it. Because when you say I'd appreciate it if you tell me that, then you're setting an expectation. So now they're disappointing you in another way.
Yeah.
Right. But if you just say, it feels like now is not a good time, let's come back to this later. Is that okay with you? Then you're getting their buy-in as well.
That is great.
And they may say, I don't really want to talk about it. I know you don't want to talk about it. It's not my favorite topic either, but it is a conversation we need to have. So let's come up with a time that will work for both of us.
This gives me hope. Thank you.
You're giving them. Just remember, you're not dealing with children. Most, like, because I think your kids are teenagers, aren't they? If I remember.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know we've talked before.
Oh yeah.
So you're dealing with young adults, and we want to be empowering them to their independence and to their own decision making and to their autonomy. And this sort of goes back to the very first conversation we had on this call today about not wanting to, maybe it wasn't the first call, it was the second call, but about not wanting to direct their behavior, but wanting to empower them to make the good choices in their behavior. We want them to make it for themselves, not for us, because that's lasting. And so this is about teaching them how to be in relationship with someone instead of just reacting to the conflicts in the relationship you're having. And so we're learning it while we're teaching them. It's like we're building the plane while we're flying. And that's okay. That's what parenting is.
It's what life is, really.
Yeah, it really is. Right? So having transparency, being willing to be wrong, to make mistakes, to own your part of it—that's not so—that's not ideal. It's huge.
Yeah.
The worst thing for a teenager to deal with is a parent who thinks they're perfect, or tries to behave as if they're perfect. Because who likes perfect people? Nobody does. We all hate them, right? We want people who are human and real, because that we can relate to. And our kids can relate to us if we're human better than if they put us on some pedestal or we put ourselves on some pedestal that's not really realistic. So the article, by the way, on the site that I was talking about is called Relationships by Design. And I recommend it. So anything else, Carolyn, for you? And the other thing I would say is, and you and I have talked about this before, is that as you're making this transition back to work, it may make sense for you and your husband to do a couple of coaching calls, just the two of you, to do some design with each other with somebody mediating it. Because you do have a major transition going on in your house, and so I would consider that as an investment really worthwhile for you to look at.
Yeah, because what is it? If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got. And I already know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the definition of crazy is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that.
Thank you.
Good reinforcement. So I think we have time for probably one more comment or question. Who else has got? I love somebody on the call today. Their phone line says smoke and mirror. I don't know who that is, but it's very fun to see on my screen. So what other questions or comments do you have for today? I feel like a radio caller. This is Stump the Coach time. Okay, last chance for anybody.
Oh.
Yep, go ahead.
Do you have time for one more?
I think we have time for just one more, yeah.
Okay, I'll be brief. So this is Sherry, and this is in regard to my 14-year-old daughter, whose grades go from, on any given day, an A to an F. To missing, mm-hmm. to complete. So we had an argument yesterday because I got a note from her teacher that a particular assignment was 3 days late. So trying to understand the why so that I can help my daughter, and got absolutely nowhere didn't get as far as I went with the conversation. Basically, I said, did you not understand the assignment? Did you not know when it was due? Did you not feel like doing it?
So can I stop you?
Yep.
Okay. First, tell me what program you're in.
sanity school.
Okay. All right. Okay, so the first thing I would say is when we try to figure out why, and we why is one of those weird words that puts people on the defensive. So I understand you're getting curious and wanting to understand what was behind it, but the way that the questions were asked may have been received by her as judgmental. She may have been feeling it as, you did wrong, you did wrong, you did wrong. It doesn't matter whether your intention was that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you shift it to a more open-ended question, right, instead of the specifics, make it a little more open-ended. So what happened? How did that, what was going on for you with that assignment?
Okay. Right. And I don't know if that's a rhetorical question, but can I add something briefly? So mm-hmm. when I asked about, maybe I started out with that, was, well, it was a paper. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't long enough. Mine was 5 pages. Everybody's else's was 8 pages. Okay, so she wanted more time. I said, but you do realize when you just take more time on your own that you lower your grade every time you're late. You no longer can get 50 points. You're down to, you know, 35 or 25 just because you're late.
So this is a great opportunity to say, okay, where's the breakdown in the system? So the problem was she wanted more time, but she didn't advocate for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that she wasn't not turning it in. She was, she hadn't finished it and had not asked for more time.
That is true.
Okay. So that, instead of saying, you realize that's going to lower your grade,
mm-hmm.
if you can help her see, okay, great, so you had worked on it, but you felt like you wanted more, what do you think you could have done to get more time?
Okay.
So we want to bring her into the problem solving and into her own advocacy.
Yes.
Right? She actually, what she did made sense in her mind. She just forgot this critical piece of communicating it to another adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right, whether it was you or the teacher, because maybe she wasn't comfortable talking to the teacher, but she could have talked to you, and you could have helped her ask for an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Does she? I'm just guessing, does she have ADHD based on what you've described?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So the erratic grades, a lot of what you're describing sounds like it could be. So based on that, it's not surprising that she might have done it and realized it wasn't enough or been instructed that it wasn't enough and didn't know how to then, how do you take a 5-page paper and make it an 8-page paper?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's the process you use to do that? And what are the steps that you follow? And the first process is to say to the, is the communication with the teacher and to find out what the teacher wants and to get the extension. And so this is it's actually an opportunity to help her problem solve her workload and management. If you can step out of be cautious not to make her feel wrong for it, but to help her feel like you're partnering with her to manage herself.
Yeah.
What could
Well, maybe
what
I can do a take
done?
A date a take two here, kind of a post-mortem. Because that is my biggest challenge, is to take the emotion out of it, take the frustration, for me to be able to communicate with her in the way you described.
Yeah.
Versus, letting my frustration
bubble
up.
And you do have
up.
An opportunity to do a take two. And I would go back to her and say, you know, I realized I didn't handle it as well as I could have. Can we talk about it again? Would you be open to that?
Okay.
Then she's giving you permission and she's bought in.
Okay.
Okay. And if you have not looked at PSS, I strongly recommend it. Because PSS gives you a chance, and a lot of people on the call now that are in the parent success system, it really gives you a chance to tackle some of these issues one at a time.
Oh, well.
So I really encourage you to look at it. I think the special for Sanity School members is still going on. So it's a really, really great rate for it, and I just would encourage you to look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Because I'm a big believer in that program. I think we are at time. Anybody have any other sort of final words of wisdom or comments or really quickies? then let's call it a wrap. I want to say thank you all for your attendance and your commitment to yourselves and to your kids. Just, you know, being here, being in the programs you're in, getting parent training, learning parent management, it makes a difference. And it's really what you're doing now will set your kids up for long-term lifetime success. So I just want you to remember to acknowledge yourself in those moments of frustration when you're annoyed and agitated and you just don't know how to handle it, to remember you're doing something and change takes time. So cut yourself a little slack, give yourself a little acknowledgement, and this week in PSS we're talking about championing and celebrating, so celebrate yourselves and the work you're doing. And I'll talk to you next time. Take care. Oh, one more thing I do want to mention. Hang on, let me just...